Good morning. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here this morning. And I just appreciate what the brother shared this morning, Brother Gerard. I felt like I'm almost jipping you a little bit here. I should have just let you stay up here. If I can get my act together here. I'm doing something a little bit different here this morning. I have never used a... what do you call this? PowerPoint. And so if I am a little bit less than smooth, forgive me. But, how many of you have ever, I'm not looking for a raise of hands, but, ever have a time in your family where you have like a butchering day and you have a lot of chicken or a lot of beef or something on hand, and for the next how long there's it's chicken on the table again, and it's chicken on the table again, and chicken on the table again. It might be soup, it might be baked chicken, it might be fried chicken, it might be any number of different forms of chicken, but it's chicken again. And I have to confess, I feel a little bit like I'm bringing chicken again. And yet, I want to be careful not to apologize for that, because this is what's on my heart. I feel like just as I was asking God what to share this morning throughout this week, this is what was on my heart, and I said, okay, we'll go with it. And it feels a little bit like a repeat of, not the last time I preached, but the previous time, I think it was in the spring, I spoke on gazing at Jesus. And so today we're talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it's somewhat similar. If I'm repeating myself, please forgive me. But may the Lord minister life through it. That's the desire of my heart. Brother, you were sharing about the people there. Is it the Makua people? That they believe in a God that is vindictive, he's powerful, he's a creator, but he has nothing to do with them. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God that is not that way. He is powerful, he is a creator, but he wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. If indeed we had a God like the Makua people believe in, I would not have anything to speak to you about this morning. Because sitting at the feet of Jesus would be pointless. We would be like some kind of annoyance at his feet, that he'd probably kick us away like we do a cat or some kind of pest, flick the mosquito away. That's not how God feels about us. We're not a mosquito landing on his arm that he says, get out of here. No. God is interested in an intimate, personal relationship with each and every one of us, and I'm so grateful for that. I also just want to thank you, brother and sister, for the work that you're doing there in Mozambique. It's exciting to me to hear that there are brothers and sisters reaching those who have never heard. May God bless that work, and may he continue to reach people for his honor and glory. And I love to see people from all different tribes and nations worshiping the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the same in Mozambique as he is here in the United States. He's the same in Thailand. He's the same in Mexico. He's the same in Honduras. He's the same in China, even in North Korea. I was reading an article in ICC's magazine this week about North Korea, how the gospel is not being stopped, even in North Korea, where the government is suppressing it and is doing everything they can to eliminate Christianity, and yet the gospel is going forth and is still saving people. Jesus is still saving people, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Now, one of the things I look forward to about heaven is fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters from all across the globe who have never met before. Amen. Well, in doing something a little different this morning, I decided to place all my scriptures up on an overhead, so that doesn't mean that you can't look it up in your Bible, but I did decide to do this. I know Mel Esch has suggested this, especially for those of you with children, or those of us with children, rather. Sometimes it can be difficult to pull out the Bible and look up the scriptures, so I do have them up there, and I see this one looks a little bit small, so I apologize for that. It's not too bad up there, I guess. So we're going to go ahead and get in here. I was reading through Luke 10 this week, and this story came to just jumped out at me, and I felt like this was the direction for the message. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Mary has chosen this one good thing. How many of us find ourselves in that Martha situation where we're cumbered about with so many things? I got to go to work. I've got to get this done. I've got this project done, and that needs to be done. That needs to be done, and I need to take care of this, and I need to take care of that, and you know what, I got to get my day started, and so I'm going to, you know, just cut my devotion short because I got too many things to do. But let me ask you this, if that project that you're wanting to get done today, if that doesn't get done today, what bearing will that have on eternity? If that project that you're wanting to get done today doesn't get done, what bearing will that have in 100 years from now, or 50 years from now? Or even 5 years from now? Is my project really that important? Or is this something that I'm cumbered about? I don't remember who it was. There's a story of one of the men of God that he made the statement something along the lines of, I have far too much to do today to not spend 4 or 5 hours in prayer. Now that messes with our mindset. 4 or 5 hours in prayer. Now I'll confess to you, I don't know that kind of prayer myself. I have not spent 4 or 5 hours solidly in prayer. Certainly not on a regular basis. And it's an area I desire to grow in, and I am growing in. I know that God is working in me in that. But look at the perspective that he had. 4 or 5 hours in prayer because I have so much to do. We think, I have so much to do, so I only have time for about 4 or 5 minutes of prayer. This one thing, I love how Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. There's only one thing that's needful. This relationship with this Jesus Christ, this God of the universe, this creator, who, unlike what the Makua people believe, is interested in our personal lives. He is interested in us as individuals. He's interested in our families. He's interested in our churches. He's interested even in our work, in our daily lives, the little things, the big things. One thing is needful. This relationship with Jesus Christ, and if I forsake this, then I've missed everything else. I can get my job right. I can get my finances right. I can get my projects done. My children well, but if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's worth nothing. I have to know him. I have to know this Jesus. This one thing is needful, that I know him. Do you know him this morning? Is it important to you that you know him? If not, why not? What else could be more important? And again, I'm not preaching from a place of having arrived. I'm growing in this as I believe many of, if not all of you are. But this is a reminder to us that this one thing that is needful, we cannot forsake it and expect to go where we need to be. We cannot expect to be the people of God that God is calling us to be if we're neglecting this one thing. What could be more important in my time with God? Furthermore, not just like I talked about in that message of gazing at Jesus, it's not just my time with God, okay? Close the Bible, I've had my hour, and I'm off to work. But no. A daily, continual walk with Jesus. Like I said, gazing at Jesus, receiving from him, and like we're talking about today, sitting at his feet. Lord, what do you have for me? How is it that this one thing, it's interesting to me, that this one thing is so needful. He makes it so, and yet it's so available. The Spirit, Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. If you have enough money, let him take of the water of life. If he's crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's, he's got his P's and Q's correct, he's got everything correct, then he can come and drink of the water of life. Let him come and drink of the water of life. If he has everything figured out, has all the answers, doesn't have any questions, understands everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. No, he says, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come and take freely. So what's stopping us? What would stop us from taking freely of this water of life? It's open to whosoever will. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What an offer! This one thing that is so needful is so freely available to us, and yet so few of us avail ourselves of it. Why is that? What would prevent us from partaking the most needful thing in life, especially when it is so freely given and available? Could it be that we just don't realize how critically important this one thing is? Could it be that we haven't glimpsed the depths of the incredible relationship that Christ wants to have with us? I'm amazed as I grow in my walk with God how it just goes on and on and on, that there's more and more of God to know. You used the term, what was that term, brother? Can you repeat that for me, the Latin term? Nem cus plus ultra. Yes, if I can get that right. Nothing more. And I think that's the way many Americans, let's just drop the term Americans, but we can tend to, as Christians, live the life, this Christian life, that, well, we've reached nem plus ultra, if I can get that word out right. We've reached this is the stopping point. There is no more. I've gotten to the edge of who God is, and now I'm good with this, and now I'm going to just live my life. No way. This goes on and on and on and on. There's so much more of God to know. We'll never get to the end of it. Hallelujah. I love also how Jesus said that Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There is nobody, there's nothing that can take this good part away from the one who chooses it. Romans 8, 35, 30 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing shall take us out of the love of Christ. Nothing and no one. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Brothers and sisters, the world will try to take that good part away from us. The enemy will try to take that good part away from us, but it's not possible unless we give it up. When we choose that good part, when we choose this relationship with Christ, the only thing that keeps us from walking on in that relationship, from going deeper in that relationship, is our own choice. It's the only thing that will keep me from going deeper with Christ is when I choose to stop seeking him, or I fail to choose to seek him. Another thing that I'm going to do a little bit differently this morning is I'm going to be preaching from a song, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Obviously, that's the title of my message. But as I looked through this song, I thought, wow, there's so much depth here. It's so rich. So I'm going to go through this and kind of pick it apart phrase by phrase. I may not hit every phrase, but I want to highlight at least some of them. Verse 1, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious. It has won my heart at last. Oh, what words I hear him say. What words do you hear him say? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? John 10 has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. We'll just read the first five verses here. Verily, say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Now, how do you think they get to know the voice of the shepherd? I would venture a guess that it's probably because they spend so much time with the shepherd. Simple enough logic, right? Are you and I spending enough time with the shepherd that we know his voice? And when I say that, please don't look to put a, this is a hard line, we have to spend X amount of time with the shepherd. That's not the kind of relationship Jesus is looking for. He's not looking for us to be a check-the-box Christian. Yep, got my number of hours in or my amount of time in. He's looking for people that don't know what the clock says. I don't remember how long I've been here. I just know I've been enjoying your presence, Lord. But are we spending time? Forget the amount of time. But are you spending time seeking his face? Are you spending time listening for his voice, learning to hear the voice of the shepherd? You know, in knowing the voice of the shepherd, the sheep know not to follow the voice of strangers. They know his voice so well that when they hear any other voice, they know to flee from it. How well do you know the voice of the shepherd? And please, this is not meant to be a condemnation or anything like that. I'm not preaching to or at anyone, no more than myself. But we must know the voice of the shepherd. If we don't know the voice of the shepherd, how are we going to know what he's telling us to do? How familiar are you with the voice of the shepherd? And one of the beautiful things that I see that he in this passage here in John 10, he talks about, he calls them by name, and reminded me of Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd calling you his? What a beautiful sound that is to hear him say, you're mine. You are mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He calls us by name. He calls us redeemed children of God. Amen. Happy place, so near, so precious. I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Happy place, so near, so precious. And I believe I forgot to mention that those last couple verses I was referring to, the first part. And again, here's my lack of smoothness. But, I did say, oh, what words I hear him say. Okay, happy place, so near, so precious. Psalm 16:11, another favorite of mine, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you find the presence of Jesus to be a place of pleasures, of joy? You know, it's probably not going to be that way if we're rushing through our, you know, I just want to do check the box Christian. You know, I prayed for these five prayer requests or whatever it is that we might do to try to, quote, check the box. That's not the kind of relationship Jesus is looking for. The kind of relationship that he's looking for, the kind where you find the presence of Jesus to be a joy, and you find it to be a pleasure to be in his presence, requires you to take some time to sit and stop and hear what he's saying. Many times I've experienced this where coming into the place of prayer, just don't feel like it, don't feel very spiritual, but the Lord has been so gracious to just slow me down enough to the point where I can hear him speaking, and I walk away going, oh, thank you, Jesus. That is such a precious place to be, when you hear the voice of the Master, the voice of the Shepherd. Hallelujah. Do you count His presence a happy place. I would look upon the past, for His love has been so gracious. It has won my heart at last. And this I have more of a personal testimony on this. As I read this portion, I was reminded of the years as a young man. And it makes me shudder to think of the way I lived. When I look back on my past and remember all the foolish choices I made as a young man, and I consider all the careless living I did, I'm humbled, awed, and thoroughly grateful at how graciously Jesus has loved me. Days and weeks of aimless wandering and floundering in my own lust and sin characterized much of my teen years. How many times I could have been overtaken by the enemy. How many wrong turns I took. And yet, how many more has the Lord graciously spared me from? I shudder to think where I could be today, and in the next breath, I am in awe of what Jesus has saved me from, and not only what He saved me from, but what He has saved me to. Sorry. My life could be an absolute wreck, one giant mess of lust, failure, sin, and selfishness. But because of the gracious love of Jesus, I stand here today walking in an intimate relationship with Him. Hearing His voice and being taught by His Spirit. I can get this thing to cooperate with me. Hearing His voice and being taught by His Spirit. Truly, His love has won my heart at last. No, I'm not perfect, far from it. But I can honestly say that I am finally pursuing the deep walk with God that I once knew I wanted and needed, but was too lazy and selfish to pursue. I would imagine that many of you here could echo that kind of a testimony, but I remember many years of just wandering off my own selfishness, knowing that there's more of God, knowing that there's a deeper place to go with Jesus. Knowing that, you know, I really need to surrender to Christ. I need to give myself to Him, but I don't want to. I don't want to lay aside my entertainment. I don't want to lay aside my sports. I don't want to lay aside all these other things that are keeping me captive, that are keeping my attention at the age of 16, 18, whatever it was. And as I said, it causes me to shudder when I think of where I was living. I remember specifically making choices. I know this is the wrong thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway and I'll repent later. I want to talk about a dangerous way to live. But by the grace of God, He brought me out of that. And as I said today, I can honestly say, not that I'm perfect, but that I am pursuing that walk with God, that deep, intimate, sold out, surrendered, laid down life for Christ. And it's so, so much better. So much better. So grateful for the grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2, sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortals be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Where can mortals be more blessed? Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2. And I apologize, I think some of the same frogs that were in our brother's throat have gotten into mine. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Where can mortals be more blessed? Do you enjoy the presence of Jesus? Is it sweet to you? There I lay my sins and sorrows. Another reason to sit at Jesus' feet. You know as well as I do, we need to be cleansed over and over and over again. And so I am so grateful for this passage in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There I lay my sins and griefs in this place, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I can come to him. I can bring everything. Lord, I've failed again. But I ask you to forgive me. And there's forgiveness there. The loving arms of Jesus. He's not vindictive. He will pass judgment. There will be a day of judgment, yes. But today, we have this opportunity to walk in intimate relationship with him. We have the opportunity to come to him in repentance and say, Lord, forgive me. And to hear him say, you are forgiven, child. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when weary, find sweet rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Are you overloaded with the cares of this life? Are you overcome with the weight of your sin and shortcomings? There is a place of rest at the feet of Jesus. If we find ourselves walking in that place of being overloaded, overburdened, I'm going to say more than likely it's probably because we've not been sitting at the feet of Jesus. We haven't found that place of rest at his feet. There is a place of rest at his feet. I was reminded of a couple of hymns, Near to the Heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. And then Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What does your walk with Jesus look like? What is, when you do take the time to pray, what do your prayers sound like? Is it, Lord, give me? Lord, I want. Lord, I need. Lord, give me this. I want this. I want that. Is that how you treat your wife? Is that how you treat your husband? Or if you're not married, is that how you treat your parents? Whoever it is that you confide in, is that what you come to them? Just give me, give me, give me, give me. Okay, see ya. It's not a relationship. God is not a heavenly vending machine just waiting for us to just, oh yeah, give me your order today. Yeah, okay. Money, food, car, job. Yep. I'll get that for you tomorrow. No. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There I love to weep and pray while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Do you love to weep and pray at his feet? Are you gathering from the fullness that is in Jesus? Luke 11, 9 to 10, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Hallelujah. Do we love to weep and pray at Jesus' feet? This will not be our experience if our time with him is a rushed afterthought. This can only happen when we calm our hearts and thoughts, taking the time to truly seek him. This is not the experience of the seeker who thinks of God merely as a heavenly vending machine from which we can extort our every whim and wish. This is the experience of those who truly love Jesus and seek deep, intimate relationship with him. In asking, it is given to them. In seeking, they find. In knocking, the door is opened to them. It's interesting. All four Gospels tell the story of the woman coming to Jesus with an alabaster box of ointment. Matthew 26, verses 6 to 13. Mark 14, 3 through 9. Luke 7, 36 to 50. John 12, 1 through 8. All of them tell a similar story. The accounts vary in detail, but they all tell the story of this woman who was deeply in love with Jesus to the point of pouring out this precious ointment on him, weeping at his feet, and simply loving and adoring him. And according to John in chapter 11, this was Mary, the one we read about in Luke 10. Luke tells the story of her outpouring of love on Jesus with the expensive ointment in chapter 7. Then in chapter 10, we see her again sitting at his feet, soaking in his teachings, wisdom, and grace. Apparently, this woman had learned the preciousness of time in his presence, a discipline that so few people, even professing believers, rarely learn to do. In his account of the story, John mentions that the odor of the ointment filled the house. The odor of the ointment was so strong that nobody could have missed the outpouring of her love on her Savior. How strong is the odor of our love and worship to our Savior? Do all around us have the fragrance of our ardent worship and adoring love of Jesus tingling in their nostrils? Or is that odor a faint hint of something that might be there? Or is there even any kind of trace of adoration, of that kind of adoration of the Savior about us? Is there something about us that just emits a smell, a fragrance of worship and adoration of Jesus? It's the desire of my heart that would be the testimony of my life, that those around me would just smell a love of Jesus coming from me. It was so profound to me as I read that, like, wow. She poured out that ointment and that odor just filled the house. There was no question. It wasn't like, do I smell something? It was like, whoa. Something was just poured out here. And I'm guessing it was so fragrant, so strong, it was too. You didn't have to look and see what's the label say. They knew what that smell was. How strong is the odor of worship coming out of your life or out of my life? Are you gathering from his fullness grace and comfort for every day? John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Receive that peace from Jesus. Psalm 27 is also one of my favorite passages, and this is again where I feel like I tend to bring chicken again, but I feel like I use a lot of the same passages, but they are the ones that speak to me and that come to my mind. Psalm 27, I picked out several verses, 4, 8, 11, 13, and 14. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Teach me, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Listen for his voice. Verse 3. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. And the songwriter says, bless me, oh my Savior, bless me as I sit low at thy feet. Again, I don't see this as a selfish bless me. Just pour out, you know, I want stuff. I want things. I want. But it's, Lord, bless me with what you have for me. Bless me with your spirit. Bless me with your power, your anointing. Bless me with a heart with your heart, to see as you see, to hear as you hear, to feel as you feel. Let your heart be my heart. Bless me in that way, Lord. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see thy face so sweet. Back to Psalm 27, again, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, Lord, show us your beauty. I desire to know the beauty of the Lord. I have seen glimpses, but I desire to know it more fully. Hallelujah. Psalm 96, 7-10. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. Philippians 2, 5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, he's able to impart his mind to us, his heart to us. He doesn't think like we think. His thoughts, as we know the verses, his thoughts are far above our thoughts. If we're not sitting at his feet and we're not absorbing who he is, not absorbing his presence, we're not going to have the mind of Jesus. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. Yes, Lord. You know, I see this song as, it's somewhat of a, it's a worship song, but it's also a prayer. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Receiving the mind of Christ, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must sit at the feet of Jesus that our minds can be renewed, that we may receive the mind of Christ. As we sit at the feet of Jesus, he shares his mind and heart with us, and we begin to think like he does. He also shines his spotlight of holiness and righteousness in our lives, revealing the unholiness yet remaining in us. Are we willing to let him do that? May I prove I've been with Jesus. Luke 24, 30-35, we find the story of the men on the road to Emmaus. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered there together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. There was no question in their hearts that they had been with Jesus. No question. I don't think there was a question in the minds of the disciples. I certainly wouldn't think there would have been a question in their minds, because here they come. I find it interesting how earlier in this passage they had compelled Jesus, come in with us because it's getting late and, you know, there might be bandits out there. You don't want to be out there. Just come in with us tonight and, you know, you can go on your way tomorrow. And as soon as they realize it was Jesus, boom, they're on the road back to Jerusalem. Wait a minute, what about the bandits? What about everything you were worried about? That didn't matter. We've got something to talk about. We're on a mission. Bandits? What are bandits? I don't know. But I've got to tell somebody that I've been with Jesus. Oh, Lord, may it be so with us, that there's such a passion in us coming out of that place with Jesus, and again, not just the place of, quote, devotions, but living a life sitting at the feet of Jesus, that it fills us with a passion to share that with others. And then, of course, favorite of mine, Acts chapter 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was so obvious that they had been with Jesus. They had to see it. May that be the testimony of our lives. And then the end of the song, may I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. He is all my righteousness. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And 1 Corinthians 1, 30 to 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He is all my righteousness. Without him, I have nothing to stand on. Without him, I am doomed to an eternity in hell. But because of him, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Because of him, I am declared righteous, because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In closing, I'd just like to sing this song. Jordan, if you could come to the piano, please. And I believe it's also number 413 in the Christian hymnal. Yes, 413, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can stand, and then after the song, I'll turn the time over to Brother John Omar.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, make me holy as he is. righteousness.
Yes. Yes, Lord Jesus. Teach us to sit at your feet, to receive of your fullness. And that as we come into the world, as we go into the world, having been with Jesus, it would be evident that we have been with you, Lord. Give us the mind of Jesus, that we may think as you think. Give us your passion, your desires, Father. Draw us to yourself. Just pray for all here, Lord. Pray if there are any here that are walking in a place where they've not been sitting at your feet, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would give them a deep desire to know you. And for all of us, Lord, increase our hunger for you, Father. Have your will and your way in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.